On today's edition of the Texas Tech Psychology Podcast, sponsored by the Division of Applied Experimental and Engineering Psychologists of the American Psychological Association, I'll be speaking with Dr. Frank Drews, Dr. Sue Bogner, and Dr. Dana Grzybicki about patient safety. Dr. Drews is an assistant professor of psychology at the University of Utah. He is a cognitive psychologist who is interested in medical decision-making and human error in medicine. He is a recent recipient of the Aloisi Early Career Award. Dr. Bogner is a psychologist and an independent medical error consultant and author of the books Human Error in Medicine and Misadventures in Healthcare. Dr. Grzybicki is a medical doctor who has researched quality measurement and quality improvement pertaining to pathology practices and diagnostic information. Dr. Drews, why are there problems within the healthcare system?
Doctors in healthcare are part of a larger system, and the system constrains them. Every type of system imposes constraints on us when we are acting. And as a consequence, it actually takes away quite a bit of the autonomy that people have in these systems. And physicians, for example, are just another case where they are not always free to do what they want to do.
It seems most people are unaware that errors occur in the medical setting. Why the lack of interest?
And this is, of course, partly due to the fact that usually what we like most are stories about blood and gore. They are selling very well in the media, and so, you know, an airplane crash with, you know, 150 fatalities is something that is catching much, much more attention than, let's say, all the 250 patients that just died today in the state of New York because of human error. Trying to put this into perspective, I think some people have used and scaled the number of fatalities or patients dying every year due to human error and scaled it to airline crashes. And I think the estimate is that it's about 1.5 to 2 airliners crashing with 200 patients every day.
So, Dr. Bogner, what could psychologists do to help reduce error in medical settings?
As psychologists, we know about communication, but we don't do any sort of training of physicians in any way. We haven't gone to medical school and said, hey, can we have 1 hour session to tell you what we know about communication? We know about team behavior, but we're not doing anything. Very few psychologists, as psychologists, pulling from the psychological literature, are doing any of the team training.
Dr. Grzybicki, if an error does occur, what can the patient expect?
It's fair for them to assume that that practitioner will actually help them and will use the best knowledge and evidence that's available and apply it to their problem so that they can get the best care and the best outcome. And included in that is that if an error is made or a mistake is made, is their right to expect that they will be fully informed about any mistake that might have happened, why it happened, and work with their practitioner and the organization to come to some mutually agreeable resolution. That's not happening.
What types of errors occur in the medical setting?
Take anesthesia, for example. Often a performance of anesthesiologists monitoring patients is kind of suboptimal. They may miss important developments. We can look at what is called error-producing conditions in healthcare. One of the things we have done in the last 2 years is we have looked at task interruptions. You perform a task, for example, you're setting up an infusion pump, and you get interrupted now by either a physician, another patient, or a nurse. And in the process of doing now this second task, it is very likely that she may or he may forget actually to switch back to the first task. And this, of course, as you can imagine, introduces quite a bit of risk.
When a person needs to visit their physician, are there any things they can do to improve their visit and reduce the likelihood of error?
Yes, there are. It's good to have an interaction with your physician. It's easy to rely on someone and not to discuss it, but the physician can only rely on certain tests. They don't know your body. You spend longer with your body than they do. So enter into a collaborative relationship. The time for some physicians is so limited. In managed care, I think it's 12 minutes for office visit. So it's hard to really establish much of a relationship, but it's necessary.
I think to the extent that they can, based on their backgrounds and experience, et cetera, patients should try to be as informed as they can be themselves about their health, and if they have a specific disease process or processes that they're obtaining health care for, try to know about it as much as they can themselves. It empowers them, and it gives them, I think, more confidence in the healthcare interaction. And it allows them to go to their healthcare practitioner and have already in their minds, or even written down on a piece of paper, specific things about their healthcare that they really want to and need to address at that visit. Keep in mind that they're going to have to be more proactive in their healthcare and meeting with their physicians, and almost assume that their physicians are not going to address at least one thing that they're going to want to address. Be very direct and open and verbal with their practitioner in telling them what they need, getting their questions answered, and even disagreeing with their physician or pointing out things that they're not satisfied with.
Ask to have any instructions written down in simple terms. And if there are any problems, the care provider is not solely responsible for any error. It's an interaction between factors and the environment. It could be misperception. If they say, well, you feel this way, don't you? And you don't feel that way, speak up, because what they're doing is going through a decision tree for differential diagnosis. They're just going from what they can elicit from you, because a lot of patients aren't explicit in their symptoms. They may be vague, and they may forget about them when they go to the provider. Also, a thing to do to reduce the likelihood of error is make sure your care provider knows all the medications you're on, including herbal items, over-the-counter medications, and if you have any kind of food allergies or you eat a certain kind of diet, include that. Inform the provider as much as you can of everything, because if you don't tell the provider, they have no way of finding out.
I think that physicians, when they see generally that patients are coming who are very interested in their health care and that they actually do have specific questions or issues that they want to discuss, then they're happy to provide all the information that they can to help satisfy the patient for that interaction.
Thanks, Dr. Bogner, Dr. Grzybicki, and Dr. Drews. Remember, like any other system, the healthcare system is not perfect, and human error is inevitable, so it is important to take control of your healthcare. Try to educate yourself as much as possible and enter into a collaborative relationship with your healthcare provider. And if you don't understand something or are not satisfied with the care you are receiving, speak up. Hopefully, the end result will be a reduction in the likelihood of error and an increased satisfaction with the healthcare system. Thank you to our sponsor, Division 21 of the American Psychological Association. To learn more about the Texas Tech Psychology Podcast, please visit www.psychology.ttu.edu. This podcast was produced by Dr. Frank Durso, edited by Kristen Goodhart and Liz Schmidlin, and relayed by me, Allison Hall. Stay healthy and active, and have a great day.